Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectively, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe in conspiracies? I say, do you believe in conspiracies? You know, conspiracy, that's something that is against somebody. It's a big program. It's like an agenda. There's an agenda that's going on when there's a conspiracy. And there's a conspiracy, an agenda, if you please, to destroy black boys. And Dr. Kuhn, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name right, Kumfa, I believe it's a Muslim name. But back in the 1980s, he done a lot of work. Matter of fact, he wrote this book on countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys. He wrote a book about countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys, I just wanted you to get a touch of that. He's given a overview of the book there at a lecture, but this was back in 1987, ladies and gentlemen. But the truth of the matter is still relevant today, and so get close to your radio and listen.
And now, here is Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu with his penetrating presentation of Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys.
There's no topic that concerns me more than the one on the conspiracy to destroy black boys. And the reason is, when our little boys are in preschool and primary grades, they're very innocent and very enthusiastic about learning. But something happens to that, and we need to find out what that is. My younger son is on the cover of this particular book, and I would like for him to grow up to be a man. Like many of you already told me, that you have sons and male students as well. Now, there's two parts of the conspiracy, volume one, and this is volume two. In volume one, we raise four questions. First question is, when did the conspiracy start? Who is against black boys? Why is there a conspiracy against them? And what exactly is the conspiracy? That's in volume one. In volume two, we look at the relationships between mothers and their sons. That must be studied. We also must look at female teachers and black male students. That must also be studied. We must look at some case studies. In other words, many of us are doing a very good job developing black boys to be men. What is it that some of us are doing that others are not doing? And then last but not least, a program called the Rites of Passage into Manhood. See, it used to be we knew when black boys became men. But now many of us don't know when we're men. It's how much reefer we smoke, how much wine we drink, how many babies we make. Until black men spell it out to black boys what it means to be a man, this conspiracy will continue. But let's go back to volume one. When did it start? And as we begin to look at that, I want to also share with you why we call it a conspiracy to destroy black boys. You see, contrary to belief at birth, there are more black boys born in the world than there are girls. It's close, but it's 1.03 black boys born in the world to 1.0 black girls. Hear me clearly. At birth, black boys outnumber black girls 1.03 to 1.0. A brief 18 years later, it is now 1.0 available And that's the key word, available black men, to 1.8 available black women. Almost 2 adult women for every 1 adult man. Now, the only question that should be going through your minds right now is what happened? We keep raising the wrong question. We keep asking, why do black men hang on corners? Why do black men lack direction? When you ask this question, you're asking the question 18 to 30 years too late. It is not a conspiracy to destroy black men. It's a conspiracy to destroy black boys. If you destroy him as a boy, he'll never become a man. Now I can look around a room and tell you, know, where are they? If they are not available to black women, where are they? Call the roll. In jail, there are 329,000 brothers in prison right now. 1 of every 4 brothers will go to prison. Where else? Or death. There's numerous ways that we die. There's homicide, suicide, drugs, war, high blood pressure, and the leading killer among black men, lung cancer. Our love for cigarettes, especially cool. Smoke them all day long, die the exact same way. Cool. Where else? We have prison, death. What else to make us unavailable to black women? Yes, homosexuality. As you said earlier, 1 of every 9 men in this country are homosexual. Where else? Yes.
Hospitalized, institutionalized.
Okay, so institutionalization, and there's not only in terms of hospitals, but also mental institutions, and of course, when they get released, many times being homeless. There's still one other large popular area. Thimby?
They marry white women.
Okay, interracial marriages. Now I want to pause there for a moment, because you would think if anybody is going to marry outside the race, it would be black women. You got 2 black women for every 1 black man. But as Thimby pointed out, it's exactly the opposite. There are 164,000 interracial marriages, of which 116,000 are brothers. That means 48,000 sisters. It's almost a 2-to-1 ratio of black men to black women marrying outside the race. But remember, as you said in the earlier workshop, if the definition of beauty is light skin, long hair, and blue eyes, why stop with Renee, the light skin sister? Why not get you the real thing? Got some serious problems here. And then black men tell me, I can't find a black woman to understand me. You mean out of 20 million black women, you can't find one to understand you? You don't need a white woman, you need a psychiatrist. But that's another workshop on relationships. But I just want to share with you, we got some very serious problems. But to tease this audience, black women are tired of being by themselves. And in the earlier issue of Essence magazine, the article said, guess who's coming to dinner now? Black women are tired of being by themselves. In other words, brothers, you can't have it both ways. You can't have 2 black women to choose from and still marry a white woman. You can't have it both ways. Black women are tired of being by themselves. Now, that's with regards to the stats, why we wrote the book, because we saw the shortage of black men. But what we want to begin to find out is, when did it start? You see, it's called the fourth grade syndrome. Studies show that black boys may be the best students in the country up until the fourth grade. So we wanted to find out what your son, a male student, was doing at the beginning of the third grade, then at the end of the seventh grade, and then measure the progress. Let me give you 3 examples. We had a little boy 5 years ago on an Albert reading test score at the 98th percentile in the country. In other words, a walking genius. That means only 2% male, female, white or black had a higher score than he at the beginning of the third grade. At the end of seventh grade, the same boy now drops down to the 35th percentile. Engineer potential here, pimp or pusher now. Score should have improved 5 years. Instead, they only improved 1.3. 2 more examples. We had a little boy at the 92nd percentile. He dropped down to the 24th percentile, and his score has only improved 2.1. But let me give you the average example. We had a little boy at the 63rd percentile. He dropped down to the 4th percentile, and his score didn't improve a year, a month, a week, not even a day. There are 3 critical stages in black boys' development. Infancy to 9, 9 to 13, and 13 to 18. You see, it's easy to see the negative behavior here when he's already dropped out, laid up on some street corner lacking direction. It's more difficult to see it around 9 years of age, when they begin to sit further in the back of the class, when they begin to ask less questions, when their ball becomes more important than their book, when they begin to cheat on their tests. We appeal to you to turn your sons and male students on early. Teach them how to read early. Teach them the beauty of being black and believing in God early. But many of us have waited, and we have waited almost too late to develop black boys to be men. You know what I'm getting at. America spends $2,300 on Head Start. They spend $38,000 on prison. If Reagan wanted to balance the budget, I can sure you save about $36,000 per person. It's much easier to educate than it is to incarcerate. Now, you raise the questions. How long do you stay in Head Start? Year? 2 years is the most. How long you stay in prison? The rest of your life? Question number one. Question number two. Does Head Start work? A 19-year study documents that Head Start works. But in prison, 85% of the inmates that get released go right back in. But as Jesse Jackson says, we have two choices. We can either send me to Penn State or State Penn. It's your choice. We have got to find ways to intervene. Now, we have a whole workshop just on the fourth grade syndrome. I now want to ask you, what are some of the reasons you feel to explain why black students, especially black boys, were doing so well K through 3, and now scores decline in the intermediate and upper grades? What explains it? Yes?
I think the learning style changes abruptly in fourth grade from what might have been more right brain activities in the primary grades into all of a sudden all left brain activities.
Okay, so a change in learning styles or methodology from the teacher, from a holistic learning style to a left brain. Okay, very good. Any others? Yes?
I think that there's a lot of rejection on the part of the female teachers in the classroom.
And the rejection increases with the upper grades? Why do you think it increases?
Because of the students, perhaps his natural makeup, hyperactivity, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
And that may be increasing? Well, it may be increasing because we're now expecting them to stay in school or stay in a chair even longer. Okay. Any others that contribute to this fourth grade syndrome? We have a change in learning style. We have the teacher's outlook on the student. What else? Yes?
The student becomes more culturally aware and differs significantly from the teacher mm-hmm. often.
Okay, so the child's now become more aware of their culture and racial identity. Okay, very good. Any others? The major reason you have not given yet, and maybe that's why this problem is still with us, Terry? First name is?
Richard.
I'm sorry, Richard.
Well, the peer group starts to form and become stronger about the peer group.
And that's unfortunate, Richard, that you said that, because as the age increases, the peer pressure is on the increase, while parental involvement is on a decrease. I don't know who told parents when your child gets older, they need less of your time rather than more. When I speak to Head Start parents, 80% of them are there. Elementary school, 30%. High school, almost a joke. We have to work on that. That's another workshop, too, on parenting all the way through, not just in those quote-unquote tender years. But the major reason, it's not on the board yet. Still looking for it. Yes. Gwen?
I think, too, that young boys, and particularly young black boys, in the primary grades, they have many mother figures, and they have very few men figures, and particularly black male figures. And I think it makes a big difference come grade 4.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's the major reason. And let me now give my first position. I sincerely believe that only men can make boys men. Now, don't misquote me. I didn't say that a single female parent or female teacher cannot rear or educate her child. But she need not do that by herself. When she calls upon her father, her brother, an uncle, a male neighbor, a nephew, a co-worker, there needs to be some men in our children's lives. I want you to explain to me how a boy is going to grow up to be a man if he's never seen any. In order to be anything, you must see it first. Remember in the earlier workshop, and I'll go through this very quickly, from the University of Michigan, we wanted to find out what the major influence on children. We said 1950, it was home, school, church, peer group, and television. And then we gave you 1980, home was still number one, peer group in the number two position, television 3, school dropped down to number 4, church last on the list. Let's go back to my statement. My statement said that only men can make boys men. Now let's see where black boys are going to find men. Let's first of all look at his home. 62% of all black children live in a single-run household. It's a very good chance he will now find a man here. I'm going to hold off on the streets and drop down to television. Can you name me 5 positive adult black men on television outside the news? And you can name Cosby because his show just started. Name me 5.
Outside the news?
Yeah. Outside the news.
Jefferson.
Yeah. And you better not say George Jefferson. So they find very few black male role models on television. Now let's drop down to the schools. 83% of all elementary school teachers are women. 95% of all teacher aides are women. And when do men teach? After the critical fourth grade, or they're in the upper grade, or they're the PE teacher, the janitor, or the principal. Very few before the fourth grade where black boys need them the most. And lastly, the church. Most young people, men, don't go to church. And the reason is we lie to them. First of all, we made Jesus Christ white. The man surely was not white. And we have a book called What Color Was Jesus to explain that. He had hair the texture of wool and feet the color of bronze. But secondly, the Lord's Prayer says on earth as it is in heaven. Young people and men want some action. They want some programs. If there are no programs in your church, they will see you later in heaven. As a result of not finding a man at home, few on television, few in school, and not wishing to attend church, the last place is the streets. And that's the problem. The streets do a very poor job making men. They do a better job making pimps, pushers, and a few basketball players. Their hero, Michael Jordan, has said there were 1 million brothers that won his job last year in the NBA. Of this million, only 400,000 will even make it to play high school ball. Of this 400,000, only 4,000 will make it to play college ball. Of this 4,000, only 35 will go to the coveted NBA. Of this 35, only 7 start. And the average life in the NBA is 4 years. You got 1 million brothers looking for 7 full-time jobs that last 4 years. This conspiracy is complex. It goes beyond the NBA. Even schools are in on it. What will be the first thing you see when you walk into a Cincinnati high school? A large trophy case. In other words, even schools give more glory to their ball players than the scholars. That's said in the earlier workshop. Where are the pep rallies for the honor roll? In other words, even school, I can understand the NBA, but even schools give more glory to their ball players than their scholars. This conspiracy goes beyond the NBA, though. It goes beyond schools. Jesse Jackson is giving you the clue one more time. Is it not possible for a black man to be president? For a white woman to be president? For a black woman to be president? Is the club only reserved for European men? You didn't know that a white boy with a high school diploma makes more money than a white woman, black woman, or black man with a college degree? The motive for the conspiracy is clear. For the question of why is there a conspiracy, the answer is white male supremacy. In other words, white men are not afraid of women, black or white, because women have no power anywhere in this world. The threat to European men will come not from women, it will come from other men. And the best way to destroy black men is to destroy them as a boy. The motive is white male supremacy. But before you get comfortable blaming somebody else, let me make sure we're clear. On a conspiracy, there would always be two. You see, you have the active conspirators and you have the passive conspirator. See, it's like child abuse. There were always two. You have the father who does the beating, active. But you have the mother who turns her back, passive. Isn't apathy, indifference, low expectations, buying hot goods in the black community, isn't that also part of a conspiracy? You have the active and you have the passive. In a conspiracy, there would always be two. Let me now give you the starting lineup. We'll start with the active ones first and then move to the passive. Leading off, batting in the number one position, representing this country, institutional racism.
Batting first is the president.
He bats in the number one position. Batting second, representing the Trilateral Commission, the Fortune 500, big business, David Rockefeller bats number two. Batting third, representing the military complex. You didn't know, black people, 12% of the population, 1/3 of the military, and died 41% of the time in the Vietnam War.
The chief of staff.
Bats number three. Batting fourth, and I don't mean Marlon Brando. I mean the real godfather. Drugs running rampant in the black community. Please don't deceive yourself. If America is the number one power in the world, they can police their borders to stop the drug traffic. These men and what they represent intentionally want to make sure the black boys never grow up to be men. But remember, they got some help from some of us who really like black boys, who may even have black boys at home, just didn't know any better. And so we bat number 5 through 9. Batting fifth, not all, but some mothers who raise their daughters and love their sons. Batting sixth, some female teachers who don't understand that boys have different learning styles than girls. Batting seventh, representing the media in this country, shows like Gary Coleman and Webster. Shows that make me sick. Shows that illustrate that black men cannot raise intelligent black boys to be men. In other words, we need a white father for Gary Coleman and for Webster. It's all part of the media image. It goes all the way back to Tarzan, all the way back to Superman, all the way back to Rambo, to Rocky, all part of white male fantasy trying to control the world. It's all part of a scheme. Make sure you heard me. It's consistent with Superman, Tarzan, Santa Claus, the white father, all part of that scheme. Batting eight, the macho image, Mr. T, and we'll look at today someone like Prince or Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas. In other words, no need to study, just be macho, just be a superstar. In other words, Mr. T, Prince for entertainment, Isaiah Thomas the Magic for sports. And then last but not least, a black woman by the name of Kathy, who will do anything for a man, and a black man by the name of Willie, who does not feel good about himself. You see your faces right now. Who's Kathy? You have to stay to the end to find out who's who. The starting lineup, Reagan, Rock. No, you don't know who Willie is, though. We got a new theory for you now. We used to end with Donna and Kathy, but now we're going to give you the Eddie Willie theory. We have a new one. So we have Ronald Reagan, David Rockefeller, Caspar Weinberger, the Godfather, some mothers. I didn't say all, some. Some mothers, some female teachers, the media image, macho in sports, and Kathy and Willie. These people and what they represent, intentionally or subconsciously, want to make sure that black boys never grew up to be men. Let's now look at the active ones first. I want to make sure we start in the right place. The conspiracy did not start with black mothers. It started somewhere else. We must start where it began. It began with active conspirators. I want to now look at them first. In looking at the active conspirators, I want to make sure we understand that these kind of terms don't make sense. We are not the minority. In other words, there are 4.5 billion people living in the world. Of this number, 80% of the world's population has color. That means only 20% of the world's population lacks color. Now you tell me who's the minority. You see, it's called the African Triangle. It goes all the way back. We're not the minority. We're only a minority. We allow ourselves to be divided up from our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, in Jamaica, in the United States. Look at this African Triangle. After all these years, other than the way we're dressed, you can't tell who's who. There are 1 billion people living in China alone, and we are second. 500 living in Africa, 160 living in Central and South America, 40 million living here in the United States. We are not the minority. Now, the question is, how can so small control so much? That's why I respect them so much. Think about it. You have a gang. You have one gang with 80 people, another gang with 20, and the 20 gonna win? The only way they could do that is by controlling the mind. Because whoever controls the mind will also control the body. Let's look at this. Let's break this down in half. What you come up with is 10% European women and 10% European men. See, it's not even 20. It's really 10% European men.
In other words, the Trilateral Commission, they want to control more than just their countries. They want to control the world.
And they have pulled this off. Now, there's a tremendous amount of pressure when you're this small trying to control so much. Now, maybe you can't understand it. It's been a long time. It goes back to Egypt for us, having that much power. But can you imagine that small number trying to control the world? A tremendous amount of pressure is on that small group with that much power. In other words, the first thing that men are taught to do is not to cry. I'm quoting from their own Goldberg. The book is called The Hazards of Being a Male. The tremendous pressure when you're so small trying to control so much. The first thing that men are taught to do is not to cry. Think about it. Ever seen Ronald Reagan cry? John Wayne cry? They die with their boots on. They die in their saddles. They die like men. Now, any psychologist will tell you that crying may avoid suicide later. But as a result of European men not crying, European men commit suicide more than anybody else. Black men who want so much to be like European men are very close second. European women are third, and the most sane person in America, she don't make no money, but stay close to God and her children and cry. Black women commit suicide less than anybody else. Give yourselves a hand clap.
We got this ad. Let me get this ad off right quick.
In other words, if you think that money is the source of all your happiness, they make more money than anybody else. But they obviously are not happy. In other words, money may not be the key. Putting God and your children first may be the key. Poorest people in America commit the less amount of suicide. First thing men are taught to do is not to cry. Second thing men are taught to do is to ignore pain. Got hypertension? Shake it off. Cancer? Shake that off too. Monday Night Football. Walter Payton goes off the field with a busted knee. Comes back on a half hour later in the Holocaust cells. It's, oh, what a man. The man was crazy to go back on the field. But you see, men are taught to be macho, to ignore pain. Not women. When women's finger bleeds, to the doctor's office. Women take care of themselves, but not men. You know, it's gotten so bad that studies have now documented that when men are married, they live longer. That's an insult to my intelligence. It means that I cannot live long by myself. I gotta leave my mama and go to my wife. Because if I don't, I'm probably going to smoke cigarettes, drink liquor, and eat a lot of pork on the streets. But with women, annual checkup, that's what they encourage men to do. Drink a regular amount of water and eat a salad on a regular basis. What am I getting at? European women, to say they're so oppressed. European women live to 77 years of age. Black women live to 75 years of age. European men die at 69 years of age, and black men die at 64.8. Albert, you and I die before the first Social Security check. That law needs to be changed and lowered for us. We aren't living long to collect on the payment. This is science. I'm gonna die 10 years before my wife. This is not theoretical. It's not just my son here. It's my life here and your life. Can I not live as long as my wife? 10 years before her? Men are first of all taught not to cry. Secondly, they're taught to ignore pain. And then last but not least, they're taught to bring home the bacon. Or I say of the vegetarian, to bring home the fruit and the vegetables. In other words, to bring home the money. Ronald Reagan knows this. Rockefeller knows this. That the best way to destroy black men is to deny them the opportunity to work. You know what I'm getting at. Because Bill Moyers didn't tell you that was a Vanishing Black Family documentary. One of every three marriages in this country, black or white, ends in a divorce in 18 months. Now, you see, it used to be if you got a divorce, something was wrong with you. But when you have a stat this high, something must be going on in our society. I now want to explain what that is. When America believed in agriculture, America believed in extended family. When America believed in the factory industrialism, America believed in the nuclear family. But now that America believes in the computer, now America believes in a single-parent family. Make sure you see my analysis. When the economy changed, the family structure changed. There was more than love in these relationships. There was some money involved here. Our grandparents worked the fields together, had economic reason to stay together, and so they did. In a factory, man works in factory, woman takes care of children. Economic reason again to stay together. But in this new economy, where you now have women working just as much, if not more, than men, you now hear women telling men, I don't need you. Got my own job. Do what I want to do when I want to do it. And we are now doing it very well and by ourselves. You know the number one song in America a couple of years ago? Ain't nothing going on but the rent. If you want to be with me, you got to have a J-O-B. It's all about money. All about money. When the economy changed, the family structure changed. And so now we have a lot of people making plenty of money and lonely. They place money before family. You see, black men want to do what white men do. Buy their family a house in the suburbs, two cars, and once a year go down to Orlando for Disney World vacation. And when black men can't do that, they don't feel they're worthy enough to stay. Now you see, the problem is, there are two responses black women can give to black men when they're out of work. Now the first response some women say is, well, if you ain't working, you gotta go. If you ain't working, you gotta go. That's a mistake. Because black men don't hire nor fire, nor control the means of production. Now, before black men say, that's right, brother, you tell them. Please, brothers, quit assuming that black women took our jobs away. Because black women also do not hire nor fire. We are being played off against each other for some crumbs. We recommend the second response. For black women to say to that man, well, if you ain't working, can you at least go back to school? Can you at least learn a skill? Or at least make dinner or wash dishes while I'm gone? But the problem is there are very few black men that look to black women for definition of manhood. Black men, as I said earlier, want to do what white men do. And that means be the breadwinner. What I'm getting at is we're going to have to redefine what it means to be a man. Because if being a man means being the provider, with 25% of black men out of work, that's a suicidal definition. You see, if I lose my job tomorrow, I'm still a man. As long as I'm responsible, treat my wife correctly, raise my children, that's responsibility. I'm not going to allow my employer to reduce my masculinity. I need to define what being a man is. And I think it's a perfect balance between the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. Not being a breadwinner, but a balance between the mental, physical, and the spiritual. Isn't it interesting? You have two black men. Both lose their jobs. One black man resorts to crime, leaves his home. He's been reduced by the society. The other black man sells newspapers, sells peanuts, does whatever he can to take care of his family. Same economic situation, but a different set of values. We have to work on that. A new definition can resolve this problem. I'm not belittling money. You have to have money living in America, but that's not the criteria for manhood. Boys make babies. Men take care of them. That's the definition. One more comment here. I mentioned earlier in our past workshop on the peer group, let me share with you here this dichotomy where you have the mental over here and you have the physical over here. You see, a real problem is our boys have a difficult time finding a balance in the middle. I mentioned earlier homosexuality And the figure is one of every 9 men in this country are homosexuals. It's going to increase. And the reason is because we've been so skilled to the physical, being macho, that when our boys want to be on the honor roll, they're labeled sissies. Want to be involved in fine arts? Labeled sissies. Want to be open, honest, communicative? Labeled sissies. When you label something long enough, you begin to act that way. So you have the homosexuals over here, and you have the athletes, the machos, over here. Tremendous dichotomy between these two. We have got to find some men that can teach black boys and Hispanic boys the balance between the physical and the mental.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there. Wow. That is the conspiracy to destroy black boys. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. We'll listen to part two on tomorrow. So listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.